So before we begin, I just kind of want to give a little, I'm not sure how to say this. Episode we recorded last week is not the one you heard last week. So like, we recorded an episode, and what I learned during that episode is that sometimes you're not in the right frame of mind to record a podcast. Sometimes you're having a bad day, your anxiety might be a little up high for reasons completely unrelated to the podcast, and then it all just sort of comes out accidentally. I kind of had a fuck you, Sobble moment.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, wait a second. Fuck you, Sobble's me.
Yeah, but I but had, you had that. I had that, yeah. And it was recorded during the podcast. Like, so we kind of crossed the streams a little bit.
And the advice for if you get into a fuck you, Sobble moment is take a break.
Yeah.
Step away.
But it didn't really happen because we were in the middle of recording. So the episode has a lot of good stuff in it. Like, it wasn't a bad episode overall, but it's going to take a little more of a deft hand to edit it. So it will come out eventually. It's not like a lost, like, oh God, I'm embarrassed, whatever. But like, in terms of making it an episode that's actually worth listening to, like, at one point, I'm pretty sure it'd be like watching, like reading a Twitter argument. Like, you don't need to hear, like, just people two back and forth yelling and not hearing the point that either one is trying to make. So I'm going to have to edit it down to like an actual good episode. So it's going to take me a while longer. So that one's, I'm not going to like stress myself out and get stuck on this episode. I'm just going to like slowly work through it. Meanwhile, this one, the one you're hearing right now, is like just coming out because I'm in a good, better place where I've had, you know, and I also want to just like formally on the episode, which is weird because you guys haven't heard it yet, so you don't know what's coming, but my co-host here knows what happened. And yeah,
I was just not going to talk about it, and we just move past it. Avoid everything, denial and compartmentalize.
Nah, I just wanted to like apologize. Like, this was it's not even anything really like that.
It just
bad.
Got weird.
It just got weird, yeah.
And not in a funny, weird way, just in a, okay, mm-hmm. That happened.
Yeah, so when that episode comes out, you will know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we're just going to have a good Make Me a Gamer. We're positive vibes here. We're not negative vibes.
Yeah. Spread positivity. And remember, if you have a fuck you, Sobble moment,
walk away.
Just walk away.
Don't PSA from Make Me a Gamer. During your fuck you, Sobble moments, just take a deep breath.
Internet thing that I've seen. Is Sobble like a sniper now?
Yes.
Like, I mean, he was pretty emo, and I fucking called it. Like, he was a tool of the government, and now he's, like, sniping people?
So, like, in the Pokemon games, and this will be real quick before we get to the main thing, the new Pokemon game has what they call Dynamaxing, which is making your Pokemon huge. So you basically have like kaiju Pokemon fights, but it's a special thing that can only happen under certain conditions. Some Pokemon have what they call Gigantamax forms, which are like most Dynamaxed Pokemon just look like their versions, but bigger.
Yeah.
Well, the Gigantamax Pokemon like have a unique look, or like they change. It doesn't, I don't think it affects like anything like their abilities or anything. It's just they look different. They look cool. And so Inteleon, which is Sobble's final form, is going to get a Gigantamax form in the DLC that's coming out later this year. And it's basically like Inteleon as a sniper. Like, that's it. Everyone else gets, like, huge and looks different. Inteleon just gets a sniper tower and a gun.
Like, it seemed like it had to be a joke, especially after all the, like, Grookey with a gun things.
Yeah, Pokemon gun happened, but it was fucking Sobble instead of Grookey.
Grookey was robbed. And at the same time, if you look at, like, their middle forms, you look at Sobble and you just go, yeah, it's
that. I mean, he's special. Sobble is special. That's all I'll say.
Tool of the government.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, this procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
And we're back with more stuff. So this episode, I don't have, like, super planned out how it's going to work, but I do have, like, specific segments. Like, I've come up with names for segments.
Oh, that's new.
Yeah, sort of. I've got one name for a segment. Don't hold me to... Anyway, we're going to start out with the Harvey Z Snaps, which is what we always start out with.
A world without Roombas? And do we include...
Don't include the other one. Okay, that one
is just a world without Roombas.
Yeah, right now it's just a world without Roombas. The other one was just weird. Like, we won't get into it. Although, I still...
I like that part.
Yeah, no, I like that too. And also, I postulate that you're still wrong about
the
demons.
We're walking away from this. We haven't heard from any demonologists. Yeah, or anything. We don't know.
That's a teaser. It's a teaser for what's going on. This one, it's a basic one, and I might have given it to you before, but I honestly can't remember, so I apologize for any of you Make Me a Gamer historians out there who have been listening. But it's a basic one that a lot of people argue about, and so I'm just going to get right to it. Superman versus Batman.
I don't think we've talked about this, because I have this argument on a regular, like, yearly basis.
With who?
Other comic book people. College, actually.
All right. I'm like, do you just, like, set some time aside for yourself? Like, I'm going to fucking argue with myself about Batman and Superman this year.
It's a deeper question in the sense of, so now, because this is not fantasy comic book world, I'm not actually killing Superman or Batman.
Right.
I'm assuming
this isn't Batman this isn't who would win in a fight between Batman and Superman.
No.
And this isn't, like, the comic book world doesn't have them. This is just... all Superman comics, all Superman movies,
yeah,
all Batman comics, everything like that.
That makes it easier. So the philosophical conundrum that I've had in the past is, which would you rather live in? A world with Batman or a world with Superman?
Oh.
And would you rather live in Metropolis or would you rather live in Gotham?
I feel like Metropolis is the choice here. Because Gotham is, like, routinely... inmates are escaping the asylum all the time. Yes. Batman, like... I think Batman has a kind of worse rogue gallery. Like, he has a lot more street level people that are just going to be causing shit. Like, Superman has, like, these aliens that show up and, like, fuck up the entire city, like, mm-hmm. level, like, several square blocks. And, like, okay, that's bad. Because if that happens, like, but at least you'll go quick. Like, it'll just be, like, a meteor and you're dead.
And, like, Superman is likely to save the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Superman. Yeah.
Shit happens in Batman's world. In Gotham, like, a bank is going to be robbed. But if you're in that bank, yeah, it really sucks. But so I originally, when posed the question, was like, oh, yeah, I'd want to live in Metropolis. The philosophical conundrum, though, became about personal freedom, actually, mm-hmm. in the sense that, so the person I was arguing with was not high, but he was the mascot at our college, actually, is the person who got into this with me. And he noted, yeah,
I can actually envision this in my head. I don't know who the actual person is, but I can see the mascot and you arguing with
him. And it was just he asked me, like, would I rather live in Metropolis or Gotham? And I was like, Metropolis, Superman will save the day. And exactly what you said, like, he solves most of the problems. And then the mascot, who's like a giant green worm of all things, like, turns to me and goes, but wait, man, Metropolis represents a fascist society. And I was like, what? Superman, if you live in that world, Superman stops all crime. Anything bad that's going to happen is stopped. Batman, aka Gotham, represents personal freedom. You can do whatever you want, good or bad. There are consequences to your actions. Batman will track you down and punish you for it, arresting you or so forth. But he does not preemptively just stop it in the middle of happening. You get personal choice and freedom living in Gotham. In Metropolis, everything is stopped. There's a worldwide savior, basically, that is always able to save the day before anything bad happens.
So what you're saying is Superman in Metropolis is Lucifer's version of Earth, while Batman is Jesus's version of Earth.
Ooh, I don't know my religious stuff that well, but maybe?
Like, that was the big argument. Like, God was like, okay, how are we going to teach these humans how to, like, live and love? And Jesus was like, free will.
Yes.
And, like, you send them down there, they make good choices, they come back to heaven. Lucifer was like, no. I'm going to make them always do good. Like, they won't have any choice. They're just going to be good. That way everyone gets to come back to heaven. And then God was like, no, I like this free will idea. And Lucifer's like, what the fuck? And that's what the big argument came out of.
I never knew that. It sounds dope. I agree, actually, that in that case, that is what we're talking about. A world where you cannot commit crime is Metropolis. You attempt to, but it will always be stopped. No one will be harmed. Bad things don't happen. I mean, generalizing, like small crimes probably, but again, Superman's going to stop everything. So you always live in an idealistic utopian society. Gotham is more real world. Shit happens. Yeah, you might get robbed. You might have stuff happen. But there's consequences to it. But it's not preemptively stopped. Batman does try to stop the biggest thing. So like the world doesn't get destroyed and stuff because Batman's there. But it's what type of a protector or savior would you want? And that, like, hearing this again from a giant, like, 8-foot-tall green worm, I was like, whoa.
My mind has been blown.
I agree with you, sir, now. I've been shown the light.
But I mean,
yeah.
If I'm never planning to do anything bad, like, Metropolis is fine.
But would you want to live in a world... Well, so that becomes a... Would you live in a world that nothing bad happens and you're always safe? It sounds great.
But like,
Big Brother is always watching.
I feel like that's a kind of a false equivalency because, like, Superman doesn't, like, stop cancer. Superman doesn't, like, when you say bad things don't happen, you mean
external, like, forces.
Crime, yeah. Bad things don't happen. Like, Superman doesn't stop every car accident. He doesn't stop medical problems. Yeah. He hasn't solved health insurance, as far as I know. Like, there's still, like, capitalist bullshit going on, and he just reports on it because he's a stupid little media bitch.
We're still going with him being a journalist. I sent some anger there.
Sorry, I have problems with the way journalism tackles things. Anyway, sorry. The point of the question was...
I mean, you still Batman have your rich guys. You have, like, Lex Luthor and such in the capitalist version who... becomes president, actually.
This is a really weird philosophical argument I was not expecting to have.
Every year, I like think about this on, like, am I more Metropolis-y this year? Am I more Gotham this year? Am I personal rights? Or am I, there should be a big overlord that kind of protects us and makes sure us...
I'm totally on socialism and Gotham's side. I'm just saying, like, I feel like you're overgeneralizing the fascist parts of the Superman world.
Giant 8-foot worm explaining this to me. Like...
And this was like 15 years ago. I hope you've...
This has been a while. Again.
Like, you can add more to it. This was like, this is a very college level distillation of Superman and Batman. So I feel like you can add on to it and not like... There's not just like black and white
interpretation. And again, it doesn't usually come up since college. So it's been a while. No one's ever asked me since then.
So wait, you did say you did do it with it. Yourself.
I didn't want to admit that I just sit by myself debating comics, but maybe I do. There's nothing wrong with it.
All right, so back to the original question, which has absolutely nothing to do with this, as we've established.
So if we're going by just entertainment genres, I would say Batman, of course. I'm a huge Batman fan of the comics, of the movies, all of that stuff, good and bad. Superman... never really cared for. There's a couple storylines I like, but even comic book wise, although, I mean, one of my first big major ones was The Death of Superman. Mm-hmm. Huge classic, like, issues, but, like, movies and stuff, TV, I'm not going to miss it as much. I'm fine with destroying the Superman entirety.
Yeah. I've never really been a huge Superman fan. Like, I know a lot of people are, mm-hmm. but, like, for me, Like, I get what people like about him is, like, the compassion and the way he, like, helps, like, even, like, single people and that sort of thing. Like, the comic where he, like, hears someone about to jump off the roof and, like, flies to them and reassures them. Like, that kind of Superman message I get behind. But, like, in terms of entertainment through movies and the way he's been shown in those, like, it's hard to root for a guy where you know the conflict is going to be his enemy has kryptonite. Like, that's the way the third act always starts is, oh no, the bad guy got his hands on some kryptonite.
But so my favorite Superman stories are the ones that don't go that way, but it's exactly what you said, which is like Superman versus cancer, Superman versus like health insurance fraud.
Right.
Superman, like there was a great series, and I just can't remember it, where Superman gets really frustrated with like everything that's going on. He stops flying around and he decides to like just walk through town. And as he's walking, he's encountering people having like real life struggles. And he's realizing, like, these guys need help, and he tries to help them in various ways. Like, it starts off simple. Guys, like, a kid's cat is in a tree or something, and he climbs up, gets it, and brings it down. Like, he doesn't fly or anything for it. He just does it like a normal person. But then as he walks down, he starts to see, like, problems like poverty, gentrification, things like that. And he's realizing, like, how powerless he is. That's such a good storyline that
That stuff is interesting. It's the typical like Hollywood blockbuster where like if he's fighting a big bad guy, like there's no sense of, oh no, how's he gonna get out of this? It's, oh no, the guy used kryptonite. Oh, he got away from the kryptonite. Oh, the end.
You know, about all the kryptonite, right?
Yeah, but like for me as a writer, from a writing perspective, it's no fun to write a character that, if you're intentionally going to have a character be like
nearly omniscient and omnipowerful.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like omniscient, that, but omnipowerful.
Like, it's the same reason why, like, Dr. Manhattan is kind of a weird character for me, because, like, like, he sees everything, he knows everything, like, okay, great. Like, and I understand, like, stories can come from that, but I like exploring Superman as a character that, like, has to, like, walks around and, like, oh, I can't solve this through heat vision sort of thing is interesting.
Like, Superman is the prototypical Golden Age hero, which is larger than life, but that was designed for a different era and a different time.
Right.
It's the modern takes on Superman that focus on, like, Silver Age, Bronze Age, and stuff of, like, human conflicts that make it really interesting. The stuff you mention is the stuff that, like, yeah, that's how he was created to be, was this omnipowerful, super cool dude who does everything. And nowadays, I think in a modern society, yeah, it doesn't really work as well.
Yeah.
The conflict needs to be Batman, inner turmoil, conflict. Oh, his parents are killed. Oh.
Okay, so in this world now, there are no Roombas
and no Superman
comics or movies or anything.
I think that's okay. Like,
considering this last run, I think I'm okay with it. Did you ever see Batman versus Superman or
I did.
Justice League?
I did not see the... Wait... I did see the Justice League, but I haven't seen Aquaman, and I saw, like, Justice League on a plane, so it was kind of, like, bits and pieces. I didn't really pay attention to it.
Shazam was good.
I wanted to see it. I've heard...
Yeah, I liked Shazam a lot. Like, that's probably one of the best ones that come out of this.
I am excited about, like, the next Shazam movie or so. The villain they've already announced?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That should be good.
Spoilers and such, but I won't mention it, but I'll just say spoilers.
Yeah. It's not spoilers if you don't even say... Okay, you know, we're not having this argument. Yeah. All right, so this first segment I'm going to introduce, it's a new segment where I sit down with Harvey Z and we play a game and we talk about... I'm going to try and do it. It's going to be like a short, real tight experience right before we record. So... I'll, like, surprise him with a game. We sit down, either I make him play it or we both play it together or whatever. And, like, we talk about it afterwards right here on the podcast. So it's, like, fresh in our memory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling it 15 minutes of game.
Oh, okay.
Because it's going to be, like, short burst of gaming, short burst of talking about it. That sounds like it.
I know the game, and so... Okay.
I mean, we don't have to talk about it for 15 minutes, depending on how things go. But just like the title of it is, because we're just playing it for a little bit. We're not doing like a full review or whatever. It's just 15 minutes of game. And there's actually two we could choose from because I made you play something else.
I think we should stick with the game we played today.
We might get to it if we have time anyway. Yeah. Like we'll see how it goes. But the game we played just a little bit ago, it was $3 in the current PSN sale. It's probably going to be over by the time you hear this. Sorry. But we talked about it last week through trivia, and we both had a good laugh about it. And so today, I don't want to say that like I forced you into it or like...
You surprised me.
I surprised him with I Am Bread.
Which, I mean, hilarious in a trivia game. Didn't know what it entailed. You explained to me a little bit of it, which is your sentient bread trying to toast yourself.
Yep.
And so in my head at that time, I was like, oh, you're a little animated piece of bread. You got legs, you got arms, and you walk around and such, and you've got to find a toaster. Maybe it's a side scroll. No, it's you are literally bread, and it's sort of physics-y based, and you got to fling yourself into the toaster. As we discovered, though, after 15 minutes, you were unsuccessfully able to toast yourself. But, yeah, it got weird.
Yeah, so, like, when I originally bought it, like, I bought it and downloaded it right before he came over to do the podcast. And when I had watched it on YouTube when people were playing it, I watched two people play it as, like, a co-op thing. And so I thought there was, like, a multiplayer mode. But it turns out it's just, like... It's not an enforced multiplayer. Like, you can choose how you want to do it. But even then, like, your buttons canceled out my buttons. Like, we couldn't, like, both operate the bread at the same time, which sounds weird.
It was two players, one bread.
Yeah. Oh, no. Why? Why do you do this to me? Anyway, so like it didn't work out as co-op, so we were kind of like taking turns, and I ended up getting the longest turn because I actually made it pretty far, but then I got stuck on the toaster and couldn't get myself into the my bread into the toaster, and me and Harvey spent about 10 minutes trying to get into the toaster, and my girlfriend was trying very hard not to make that's what she said jokes at everything we said.
Like, it is a very innuendo-filled game.
No, only when you're trying to shove the bread into the toaster. It's like, it won't fit. We need to work it with a better angle. Like, come on. Maybe if we put some butter on it, it'll slide in easier.
It was, yeah. I mean, I wish I could say that those were not things that were said, but, I mean, you're bread and you're trying to get into a toaster. I mean, you're trying to give your buddy some advice. You're going to tell him how to, like... nudge it in there and slide it in there, and it's just bread. It's supposed to be wholesome.
Maybe we needed to press the button first to make it easier to go in.
We tried that. It did not work.
We couldn't find the button.
That's what she said.
So I ended up like doing like a speed run through it and accidentally found a rocket and ended up toasting myself on the rocket flame, and like instead of how you were supposed to do it. I don't even know if you're supposed to get into the toaster.
I don't even know. Is the toaster a lie? Is this even like... Oh. And there's so many weird layers to this game.
Yeah. Like, you can... Each corner of your slice of bread is controlled by one of the four trigger buttons. And then you can permanently anchor yourself using the four face buttons, like triangle, square, circle, X. But, like, your grip meter goes down the longer you're gripping onto things. So it's a real, like, network. You've got to stay off the floor. You can't hit bugs or get in water or things like that. And you're like, your edibility starts going down the longer you end up in these places. So you want to be as delicious as possible and also edible by the time you get to the end.
And you managed to somehow be 1% edible right before successfully...
Yeah, I accidentally got a trophy where I managed to be 1% edible. Yeah.
And so I will say, like, the fact that we're discussing it in this way, it was a funny game. The concept was amusing. It's fun to watch. It is a little weird in terms of, like, is this a highbrow game or is this, like,
changing... It is not a highbrow game.
I mean, you're bread. You're trying to toast yourself. It's got 3D somewhat real physics. That's about it.
You are already bred. You don't know that reference?
No.
It's the anime, the guy saying you are already dead. I don't even know what anime it's from. I just know everyone references it. You just
like cited a random meme at me? And not even the meme itself. You turned it into a bread pun.
Yes. What? What we're doing here.
But you gotta give me more than just... You can't just go around like, yeet.
That doesn't even have anything to do with bread, though.
Maybe it did. I don't know. You can't just meme at people. Like, that seems weird.
In the context of a podcast, like, you weren't, like, in mid-sentence or anything. Like, I...
Okay. It's just... Usually, know the audience. Maybe our audience actually got it, and I'm the one who's just, like, a boomer here going, like, what?
I mean, if you... It was supposed to be a reference. I thought you would get it because it's been around on the internet for a long time. But here's
the
problem.
You can't explain the reference to me. I would have been fine with it if you're like, oh, it's from this show and stuff. And I'd be like, ah, okay. But the part that got me was the, I can't even tell you what anime, but you know, it's that thing. And it's like, I can't even go and Google this. That I guess I'd have to look up You're Already Dead or something.
I mean, it'll show up. This isn't like something I pulled out of my ass. This is something that's been used for a long time.
I'm just amused. You know what? That's the part that
maybe
got
I'm
me.
Just more into the internet than you are. Like I have my pulse on the internet. Okay.
With old memes.
It's not old. I guess it's old in the sense of that it's been around for a while, but it's not old in the sense that no one uses it. Like it's not a boomer meme.
Okay. Sad part of, that I know what a boomer meme is.
Yeah, come on. Okay.
Wait, is Badger Badger a boomer meme?
No, depending on how you're, like, defining a boomer meme.
Okay.
Boomer meme are, like, actual bad memes done by boomers.
Yeah, as opposed to the original meme.
Like, I consider anything Minion a boomer meme.
Minions?
Because, like...
I know, I totally...
Minions are some reason, like, the favorite of, like, 60 to 70-year-olds on the internet, and they just attach them to everything without any context.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, that is what I consider a boomer meme.
In my head, I was thinking of anything that makes fun of, like, kids playing too much video games, or, mm-hmm. like, looking at their TV screens, or, like...
That, too.
They should go out and play. Yeah. It's, like, a boomer meme.
Yeah, Badger is, like, definitely, like, a Gen X meme at
Whoa, Gen X. Whoa.
I mean, it's not a millennial meme.
I mean,
we're
millennials are old. That's still a generation ago. We're on like Generation Y or whatever they're called.
We're at the very tail beginning of millennials. Like, and Badger Badger was in our prime.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like, well, I guess it's.
What are the first memes?
It's like a meme prime, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're discussing this. We're moving on. Fuck it. No, I'm not doing this anymore. All right. So for the next segment, we have had this thing that's been sitting on our table and we didn't quite know what to call it. I originally introduced it as the Make Me a Gamer Minute. Didn't quite turn out that way. Like we did what I said it wanted to, but like the name of the segment didn't quite fit. Because it took way longer than a minute for me to talk about it most mm-hmm. of the time. We called it the hat. We called it the cauldron.
Okay. I was like, what is the Make Me a Gamer Minute? I remember that thing, but it fell out of favor. The cauldron, I know. The flaming cauldron of games or whatever we call it.
All right. So I'm retiring the cauldron as it currently is.
No. I was like, I don't see the cauldron here.
Yeah. There's only 3 games left in it. So, like, it was getting towards the end of its run anyway.
I was starting to figure out the games, too.
I looked at the last 3. You wouldn't have gotten the last 3.
I believe you completely. Sorry.
In fact, you know what? I'm going to pull the last 3 out right now, just so you know.
Just to end this, to keep the streak of, like,
yeah, just what the 3 games were. The first one was Firewatch.
I have heard of, are you this dude in, like, Yosemite Park or something, and you're, like... It's some sort of weird horror survival.
Yes, actually.
Oh, the wow. Streak. Aha! You wanted
what
to deny.
What system?
PC.
Okay.
The streak is over. He tried to end it on a technicality, taking away the cauldron. But,
But the okay, so that one you did get. The other one was other ones were Coldceps Saga.
Don't know it.
No idea. Yeah. And Blood Omen Legacy of Kain.
I've heard of Legacy of Kain. Is it a Castlevania game?
No. It is about a vampire, though. So that's probably what your
PlayStation?
Yeah, it was on the PlayStation. It's not a side scroller at all, yeah. So it's not anywhere near Castlevania.
I think it was one where you can look behind yourself, so I wasn't interested.
No. It was a top down kind of toe jam and early perspective. Isometric.
Really?
Yeah.
A vampire isometric game?
And it was like semi RPG ish. You like walked around and like sucked blood out of people, and it was you had to like fight different bosses to get different relics and eventually like save. You played as a vampire that was not like, he was very much an anti-hero, maybe not even a hero, maybe just a bad dude. Anyway,
it sounds actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's one of my probably favorite PS1 games outside of like, you know, the typical Final Fantasies and that sort of thing. I have a lot of fond memories of it, but it chugs. Like it was not optimized very well. I don't know how it would hold up now, but at the time, like even at the time, I kind of noticed it's little bit of.
Did they remake it ever? Or
anything? I think they ported it. Like you can buy it on like the PS3 store. I think they have it as like a PS1 classic on that or something. But I didn't re-get it at the time, and who knows if I'll ever pull my PS3 out again, or maybe the PS5 will have all those. We don't know. Anyway, so the Cauldron in its current form is retiring.
Whoosh.
Whoosh. But what I am replacing it with is I can't think of a good pun.
Let's stay away from timed ones because you have 15 minutes of game the gamer minute thing.
Well, I'm getting rid of gamer minute. We're not calling it that anymore. So like I'll give you what's going to be happening here.
Okay.
So over the course of this year, I will probably make a post about it on my writing blog with like the full list, so it won't be as much of a surprise if you go there and read it. But you know me, and you know that I love making lists.
I do know that about you.
Yes. And so as this decade came to a close, I put together my list of top 100 games of the decade.
Of the decade?
Yes.
Okay. I knew you had a 100 games list.
Right. But this is 2010 to 2019, my favorite 100 games.
In that time period?
Yes.
I know you like lists, so this isn't surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
So all the games are just from 10 years?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Because you have probably a list that's lifetime, right?
Yes. This is a different list than my lifetime list.
Okay.
I haven't updated that since the end of 2018. That's when I did that. So I might also update that because things have changed around.
Yeah.
But my top 10 for, or my top 100 for the decade, I have put that together. And I've got, so I haven't quite, I didn't do the physical part of the Cauldron because I kind of got home late from work today and didn't have a chance to put it in. But so over the course of 12 months, I'm going to be slowly counting down through the Cauldron. So like I'm going to put 100 through 91 in the Cauldron, and you're going to pick one out and we're going to talk about it. And then in an appropriate amount of time, like we won't get to everyone in each block, but I will talk about a game in each one. Or a couple games in each one, because, you know, if I section it off into, like, 91 to 100, 81 to 90, and so on, by December, we'll get, like, the top 10, and I'll probably just straight up talk about the last
couple. Maybe we could have a whole episode on the top 10 or something.
Right, yeah. So, that's the plan. I don't have the physical Cauldron, but we're going to use the Cauldron for something new. So, I'm going to put all those games in, you pick one out, and it'll... You can start your challenge again, but this one might be a little easier since it's, you know, they're more recent games.
I do, but at the same, oh, like my, will I know it at all kind of things. Yeah, I think I would, but my difficulty is what's game number one, two, like what are the top three? Because I know what your manatees are, but this is 10 years worth. And
yeah, so this is 10 years worth.
Maybe the number one game is from 2010 or 2015.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Mm.
But since I don't have a physical Cauldron for you got any ideas on a name, by the way, like Cauldron of the Decade? I don't know. Like,
well, so the cauldron was because we had a cauldron type thing.
And it's going to be stuff going into the cauldron. Okay.
Because I'm thinking, like, should we go with, like, focus on the list part or the countdown? Not the final
countdown. The countdown cauldron.
Oh, okay. The alliteration. Alliteration,
yeah. No.
The CDC, the countdown cauldron. No, I mean, that's, the government's already got that. Yeah,
they've already called dibs on the CDC. All right, so for now, the countdown cauldron. That's nice.
It made me immediately think of actually like VH1 and their countdowns and such.
I like it. I think we'll go with that. So, since I don't have the physical to give you, give me a number between 91 and 100 and act like you're just randomly picking something out.
91 and 100, let's go with... I was going to pick a prime number, but I don't know a prime number off the top of my head. So let's go with 93.
93. That is not a prime number.
I know.
93 is, drum roll please.
I'm not going to hit the table. I'm smarter at podcasting than that.
93 is Luigi's Mansion 3.
That low? Or I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a recent game, so I guess it made the list at all, but... 93?
Yeah.
93. I would have thought like top 50 maybe for you.
Oh, we've got so many games. You have no idea.
Luigi, I mean, that's a pretty high bar then. Like 93 is
Luigi's Mansion. Yeah, I mean, Luigi's Mansion. Well, so, all right. Here.
Why is it? Yeah.
Here. So first let's, because of I am anal about my lists, you have to think about this. You have seen, you heard me talk about my top five from this year. Luigi's Mansion was not on in my top five. More importantly, if you read my Manatee's top 10, Luigi's Mansion wasn't in the top 10 and also didn't even make the honorable mentions.
And you probably, knowing yourself, have made a top 10 for each 10-year mark kind of thing.
Maybe.
Maybe. And so the fact that this is even on that list then. All right. Okay.
So, like...
Yeah, I'm starting to piece this together knowing my... good buddy T-Man and his lists. But wow.
Yeah.
You like lists.
Yeah, I like lists. Anyway, so Luigi's Mansion 3. I talked about it a little bit on the podcast already last year. It's a very fun, cute game. I haven't finished it yet, which is partly why it's lower. It's a game I want to get back to at some point because it's cute and fun. I got stuck at a boss that irritated me because everything else was like fun puzzles. And this one was kind of like a timing based one that wasn't as fun. And the other thing that really held it back is that as I think I said before, you're collecting money, but you don't really have anything to use the money on. And it's kind of weird that I've been trained at this point to feel like I need to be collecting things for a purpose in a game. Like a lot of games, Super Mario Brothers, you know, I guess at every 100 coins you get an extra life. But like, you know, you're collecting coins in a lot of Super Mario games and a lot of times the lives don't really matter that much.
So this doesn't even get you lives?
I mean, isn't a live system.
Yeah.
Like...
Okay, so it's just kind of a throwback to, like, Mario has coins.
Yeah, so you collect money, and you can buy, like, hints to things, but that's it. And it's not really super useful. But otherwise, like, the vacuuming mechanics are fun. The ghosts are fun. The bosses were, like, aside from the one that I got stuck on, were very, like, unique and inventive. There's one specific one, minor spoilers. Each level of the hotel, you get stuck in a hotel. That's the name of basis.
Isn't that the plot of like all of them?
Well, I mean, the first one was a mansion because it's called Luigi's Mansion. Yeah. Like, this one is a hotel, and there's different floors of the hotel, and you're like Mario and Peach get kidnapped, and so you've got to rescue them. And each level of the hotel, everything just gets weirder and weirder. And one level of the hotel is a movie studio. And, like, there's a ghost trying to film his movie. And the absolute highlight of the movie is you rescue all his equipment and make it work better. Like, it stopped working. And you set things up, and he gets so excited. He basically puts you into, like, a city set. And you fight basically a ghost. And the way it's filmed, it looks like you're a kaiju Luigi fighting this ghost and like destroying the city. And it's a fantastic like design to the boss. And it was a extreme highlight. Like, I was laughing. Like, it was just fun. It was a, it had that Nintendo spirit of like, we designed this, we tongue in cheek sort of have fun with this. So it's good. And as you can see, it's in the top 100 games of the decade at number 93. That's your first number. Next week, we'll have an actual cauldron with the other nine, and we'll pull a couple more from it, and then we'll move on to the 80s eventually. So I hope you enjoy this segment. This is like, I'm like debating, do I write the whole thing down and give it away, or do I just like keep doing this for the podcast? Write in, let us know, give us an opinion.
I don't want to spoil myself, so like I wouldn't read that post intentionally because I kind of want to just hear it from here.
Okay.
And at some point, yeah, I'd like to see the full list just knowing you.
Okay. And also, since we're going to like not get everyone from like the 90s to 100s, we could skip one really well known one, and you think, wow, maybe that's higher up, and then, oh no, wait, it was actually number 97 and we just never discussed it. So maybe, I don't know.
We could also, as we move to the next like block, or not decade, but the next 10, release it at a time, like, yeah, like here were the top in the 90s, at least, now that we're moving on to the 80s.
That might be a good idea.
And like monthly or every couple, like 5 weeks or something.
That sounds like a good idea. I think we might do that. All right. So that's the second segment. And now we're going to get to our breaking news segment. We've decided we're not always going to be talking about news, but when there is news, we're going to talk about it. And that's what this section is. And there's two big breaking news things that happened just today.
Oh.
First one is that Sony, for the second year, is not going to be at E3.
Last year, I think we mentioned this even.
Yeah.
Like, but they were like, is this a good idea? Or I was like, oh, this seems groundbreaking.
Yeah, and now for the second year in a row, they're skipping it, which is a big deal because their new console is coming out this year, and E3 is supposed to be the biggest trade show, but Sony is just being like, fuck you.
I mean, they'll probably do their own thing, basically.
Yeah, like it's heavily rumored that there's going to be a Sony event in February that does like the big blowout reveal. But after last year, like, when E3, I believe we discussed it on here, E3 leaked, like, accidentally DDoSed a whole bunch of reporters and, like, media people by just, like, having a spreadsheet on their website.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't secure it or anything. It was just they could find it and had everyone's information, which was dumb. And so, like, a lot of people are, like, questioning whether they even should go to E3 this year, because Nintendo doesn't have a conference. They do like a direct, and then they're present at E3, like they have like stuff on the floor, but they don't have like a conference. So Microsoft is going to be the only big one having an actual conference there. They'll probably be like Bethesda and Devolver and Ubisoft and those guys. But
when is E3?
June.
June. Okay, so a while away. They've already kind of preemptively said.
Yeah, they've already said we're not doing it, but they will be at a bunch of other events, they said, and they'll have their own. So it's already started the kickoff of like, is E3 even relevant anymore? Because the big trouble with E3 is that they were trying to straddle a line and keep favor with two different factions. There's one faction that wants it just to be a trade show and only open to media and like know of the pomp and circumstance of like a convention. And then there's a bunch of other people who are like, E3 needs to rival things like PAX and RTX and these other places that like have fans that can have passes and like play new games and see all the new stuff in addition to like announcing it.
What's your take?
I think now I don't care. Like, I was glad to go to E3 in 2018. That was that's the only time I've ever been. And I went as a fan because I didn't have any media privileges yet. But now, after the big leak last year and the way they haven't apologized for it or even attempted to make anything better, I think E3 and the ESA needs to be restructured before I really care about it again. Mm-hmm. Especially because a lot of companies don't, like, there are game announcements 12 months of the year now. So that big conference feeling just isn't there for me anymore. Like, I okay, great. They'll announce a game with footage that's made specifically for a trailer and not actually a game, and then I won't hear about it for another 6 months. Big whoop.
My random opinion was, yeah, I think the former then, which is to say it should be just for like media stuff, because we do have tons of cons that seem bigger or better, and why compete with them? Be unique, do the game trade show thing.
Yeah, like, I feel like that would be good if they got their shit together for the media.
Don't right DDoS now, the, your audience.
Yeah, right now the media doesn't trust them because of what they did last year, and the fans are like, well, Sony's not going to be there. What the fuck? I want to play Sony games. You know, like, it'll be interesting to see how it evolves from here, especially with the next generation coming along. The other big announcement today, breaking news. Like,
I was about to say, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Not quite. But Square Enix announced that they're delaying both Final Fantasy VII Remake and Avengers.
Yeah,
they're making like the co-op Avengers game, which we haven't really talked about a lot on here, because for good reason, it's going to be a little skeptical about it until it actually comes out and see how it goes. But Final Fantasy VII was only delayed a month. A lot of people are probably suggesting, and rightfully so, that they probably only moved it for fiscal year purposes, because the fiscal year ends at the end of March. So now it's moved from, I think, the 3rd to the 10th, 3rd of March to the 10th of April.
Oh, totally makes sense.
Yeah. So it's just like, probably might be, the game might need a little polish, but it's more likely that because they're delaying Avengers, they wanted to have something, and maybe they've already met their fiscal year for 2019 goals. But yeah, Avengers is moving from May to September, which is a slightly longer delay. Mm-hmm. And that one's probably the game that actually needs work, so I'm not surprised to see it delayed. The big thing here is now Final Fantasy VII had a better, like, it was like leading off the big games. Like, it was the first big game to be coming out. Came out a couple weeks before Animal Crossing, a couple weeks before Doom. But now it's sandwiched in between Animal Crossing and Doom come out before it. Cyberpunk comes out a week after it. And I think Resident Evil 3 comes out the week before it.
So it sort of fell into like blockbuster season.
Yeah, so now it's smack dab in the middle of like busy season, because a lot of games are like late March, early April. And it'll be interesting to see how it does comparatively. A lot of people are expecting a Cyberpunk delay because people think it can't be far enough along to actually hit its date. But we'll see on that one.
And I feel like Final Fantasy, it's a known established franchise that they're not necessarily looking to, like, they're not going to lose as much. The others, I think, would be more like, ah, crap.
It's getting
closer to us.
Yeah, it's going to, I'm interested to see how the fans turn out for this. Like, which, if people just buy it and then don't play it because they want to play the new game and are not, like, super addicted to the, like, they know Final Fantasy and they'll get to it when they get to it sort of thing. For me, I'm not buying either of those other two games, so I'm just going to get Final Fantasy and stick to it.
Are you going to go the Cyberpunk route, though?
So
I didn't know if it was a must-have for you.
It's not a must-have. In fact, it's a wait and it, I want to wait and see, because I'm not as high on The Witcher 3 as a lot of other people. I like the show. Show was good. I still haven't finished it, but of what I saw, I enjoyed. But like, The Witcher 3 just didn't click for me. And partly, like, I prefer sci-fi settings to fantasy settings, so that could just be part of it. But because I already have tried what's supposed to be their marquee game that everyone loves and didn't fall in love with it as much as everyone else did, I'm not gonna like dive head first into Cyberpunk. I'm gonna see how it turns out, see what other people are saying of it, and we'll see what happens.
Got it.
Now, I'd like to end with a little bit of trivia. So we're gonna do a probably like one or two trivia cards each. Okay. Like, just do like just quick trivia to end the episode, because we both like doing that.
It was
fun. Yeah. And it spawned bread, so we'll see how it goes. I don't have a catchy name for this segment yet.
I'm trying to think of quiz puns, trivia puns.
Yeah, I'll come up with something. We'll call it Trivia with T-Man or
Trivial Pursuit.
That's yeah. already a thing. You fool.
First the CDC, then Hasbro or whoever.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you
3 cards.
Yeah, here, take these.
Okay.
I can't remember if I put the ones we'd already done at the top or the bottom. It was at the top. Okay. So I've got a couple here.
I feel like I could have answered these. I'm worried.
Oh, this you got me some easy ones, huh?
Yeah.
Well. Okay, I've got some. Who do you want to start, or do you want me?
I'll start. I actually think you won't get the first one.
Okay.
Which open world survival game is set on the fictional ocean planet 4546B?
What?
I actually know the game and have been interested in it, but I'll repeat it to you. I wouldn't have got it from this question. Which open world survival game is set on the fictional ocean planet 4546B?
Open world survival game. Echo the Dolphin?
Is there an open world Echo? No.
I'm trying to think of
ocean
something.
Planet.
Ocean, yeah.
It's after the 2000s, so it is a more recent game.
Mm-hmm.
Like Echo hasn't been years.
Yeah.
But
I
the answer is
Sid Meier's Pirates?
No. Wow, that would be weird. Old-timey pirates in like a space ocean. But Subnautica.
Oh, I have heard of Subnautica. Okay. Oh, yeah. Now I have no interest in it.
Yeah. Do you want the second one on this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the second one. Game Boy's launch title, Alleyway, was a clone of which 1976 Atari arcade game?
Bowling?
No. Atari games.
I don't know Atari games.
Classic Atari game. 1976 launch title Alleyway.
Alleyway, like Space Invaders?
Nope. Breakout.
Breakout. Oh, I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big Atari person. Like I never played any of the Atari. I know Breakout, obviously, but yeah. I didn't know it was
from that question.
Yeah. All right. So I've got this first
one. I have
one.
A chance.
Yeah, this first one, you will get the second question. The first question, I don't think you'll get, but we'll see. In the game series of the same name, what does the acronym of the FEAR team stand for?
The FEAR team?
Yes.
Oh, the game.
The game is FEAR.
I have heard of FEAR.
Yeah.
It's a shooter type game, I believe.
Yes.
I can't think of, is it like an SCP type game? Is it like find, explore, action, retrieve?
Those are in fact all words, and you got 0 of them correct.
I was hoping retrieve would have been one. Fictional Earth, no, because it's like a horror.
I feel
game.
Like we're playing Mastermind. Yeah. Now like you're gonna give me 4, like one answer correct.
I don't know.
Okay, it's a First Encounter Assault Recon.
I wouldn't have gotten to it even if I'd like puttered around for a while. Yeah. Okay.
All right. This one I'm going to be disappointed if you don't get. Who is the main protagonist of the Metroid series?
Samus Aran?
Yes. Okay.
Aran.
I don't have to kick you off the podcast.
Yeah. I feel good about that. That's a good one. That's a solid question.
That one you should know. Like yeah. I there's no excuse for you to not know that one.
Gamer credibility there.
Yeah.
It's less impressive because I've played Smash and she's become more popular and stuff. But, like, I knew that from Super Nintendo days.
Yeah.
Because I used to have the Nintendo comics,
mm-hmm.
which had, like, comic book stories and all this. Yeah, and she was in. So, I think you'll get this one. I think you'll get both of these. Well, Geralt of Rivia appears as a playable character in which 2018 fighting game?
Oh, fighting game. Ooh, nice swerve. I thought it was going to be about The Witcher since...
At first, I didn't know who it was, and then I realized, Geralt, why do I know... Oh, is it The Witcher guy? Yeah.
Geralt is Soul Calibur 6, right?
Soul Calibur 6. And then...
That one, famous in Soul Calibur 4, was Darth Vader and Yoda.
Yes.
I believe were the two... guest characters. And Soul Calibur 2 was Link on Nintendo, I think Spawn on Xbox. God, who was the Sony character?
I thought it was Vader in that one, but no.
No. So Soul Calibur 2, There was a special one with Link on Nintendo. I remember that was the big one because everyone was excited. No, it wasn't a Final Fantasy character. I want to say it's like Kratos, maybe?
It seems like so long ago because I remember Link was on Soul Calibur.
But Soul Calibur was GameCube. So it would have been on the PS2. It was Heihachi from Tekken.
Got it.
Was the,
okay. This one, I think you would know, but you might get tripped up on it, which is, what are the nicknames for the four Pac-Man ghosts?
Oh, shit. Is Blinky one of them?
Blinky is the first.
It's Inky, Blinky, oh, shit. Stinky?
Not Stinky.
I thought it was like three Inkies and then something like Bob or something.
You got the trap. There is a trap in that way. Three Inkies and a thing.
And then, like, I can't remember, but I can't remember.
This is the easiest of the ghosts, actually.
Really? Clinky?
No.
Dinky? Pinky? Pinky.
Pinky is the third Pinky. One. Yes, so, yeah. Because it's the
Inky,
ghost.
Blinky, and Pinky.
And then,
like,
you either know it or you don't.
Like, it's something stupid like Ralph or Phil or I don't know the actual name.
Clyde,
yeah. Yeah. Like, I knew it was something stupid.
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde. So, yeah. Okay, 1 point for you. So
I'm going to give myself a half point for that one because I got two out of the four. Okay.
Because otherwise we would have been tied, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've got one and half. And you've got one for sure. Are we going to do three?
I was going to do one more card. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm not sure if you're going to get these, though, but we'll see. In Mass Effect, which alien species is affected by the genophage? Genophage.
Mass Effect, I think, is a game where you can have, like, sex with aliens.
I mean, you're not wrong.
But I don't know any of the aliens, except I think there's a blue one.
Yes, the blue one is the... I'm not going to say it because maybe that's the one.
Maybe that's the one. There's also like another one, but they're like badass lizard people, I think.
You are correct. That is another one.
And again, the only context I have is I think you have sex with all of them.
You don't have sex with all of them. There are specific romantic partners you can have. And you can have... And if you romance them, you get a sex scene. And it's a tame sex scene. There isn't anything... It's not porn.
I can't give you any guesses on, like, okay. The blue people. Maybe it is them?
No, it's not the blue people. It's the lizard people, the Krogan.
50-50 right there.
I wouldn't have given it to you, though.
If I'd guessed the lizard guy.
I mean, I would have given you a 0.5. Yeah, because it's like just a complete guess. All right. Whose experiments with a time machine kick off the events of Command & Conquer Red Alert?
I actually own this game. It was actually fun. I think I beat this game. It was a really cool, like, sequence. But the time machines were actually not for the Hand of Nod people, like the bad guys or the Soviets. So it was, I think, because there is a Chrono Warrior and it's on the good guys, the Allies. But I don't know the actual leaders. It was a lady. Nikita was like the lady on the Russians. Man, this had a great soundtrack. This is one of the few game soundtracks that I would listen to.
Really?
Independently of the game, because I'm not a big soundtrack guy.
Interesting. But, I guess, do you like RTSs?
Real-time, back in the day, yeah. Like Warcraft, Command & Conquer.
Right.
Like the old ones. Command & Conquer 2, like Warcraft 2. I used to play all those.
Cool.
Starcraft is when it started to peter out, like after Starcraft 1. I never got into 2 in future games.
Gotcha.
I did love Age of Empires, too.
We played Age of Mythology together.
Yeah. Nikita.
No.
Or, like, Kane, I think, or whatever the Nod guy's name is. But
it's Albert Einstein.
Son of a bitch. Was it a steampunk time-travel-y game? No. It's like, there's a great sequence where you're by the Statue of Liberty and people are invading. And like, it was fun, because the Russian campaigns, they invade the United States. And, like, so it's near landmarks and stuff, and you're just having Command & Conquer with, like, that. Oh, the Chrono Warrior was... I remember getting... That was one of the few games where I got, like, the collector's edition. Came with, like, a lead pewter like heavy figurine of like a Chrono guy. And the Chrono people were dicks. You would just send them after like the people's harvesters and then like teleport them in time. Anyway. All right. I did not get the points there. So I need to hope that you don't get the points and I'm going to go for the 1-1 draw.
And well, you've got one more card. We've both got one more card.
Oh. I think you know these. What is the name of the main playable character in the Metro series?
Fuck if I know. I've literally never played the Metro series.
Do you know the Metro series?
Yeah, it like takes place in Russia, like, and it's like after an apocalypse and everyone lives underground in the Metro. And okay. So it's like Alexei Protagonistov.
Artyom. Okay. Or Artyom.
Okay. And no clue.
Then, oh, I know this game, but I did not know the answer. But I played this game a lot. In the 1997 game Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, who is the CEO of Rupture Farms?
I've never played that either.
I don't know if you would like it. It's a weirdly trippy game.
Like, is that the one where you have to like save people as you're like going through the world?
If you want to perfect, like, complete the game, you have to save, like, 99 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole game, like, they're in the backgrounds and stuff, and they can die. Like, the primary game is to escape, but to complete it, you have to get all 99 of them and save them all.
Yeah.
And it's a puzzle game, but it was really interesting with what it did in foreground, background, and the graphics for a PlayStation game were. Anyway, mm-hmm. No idea?
Yeah, no idea.
Moloch the Gluckon.
Yep, never would have gotten that. All right, well, now we're going to...
have a chance to actually beat T-Man.
Yeah, you have a chance here. Point. And if you had gotten this card, I would have known both these answers. So
that's not comforting for me.
All right. Corvo Atano is the protagonist of which game series?
Say it again.
Corvo Atano.
Wing Commander?
No. Dishonor to your cow. Or just Dishonored.
Oh, I was about to say, like, Mulan. No.
All right. This is your last chance. And I know you've heard of this game. But the question is, how much have you paid attention? In the 1998 game Metal Gear Solid, what is the name of the rogue Black Ops unit led by Liquid Snake?
So there's a whole unit.
Yes.
Are these all the... No. Snake Eater? No. Because are they all like different types of snakes?
No.
There's like Liquid Snake, Solid Snake.
Yes.
Gaseous Snake.
No.
But like, I'm thinking of the right game with Solid Snake and Liquid Snake. They are in Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yes.
And there's a unit of...
These are the main villains of the game.
And they're not... Snake Eater sounds perfect for it.
No, but... Snake Eater is the name of the third game.
Oh, I was about to say
Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater is the name of that game.
Not the rogues, the
I think we've tied, folks.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid, the name of all the villains in their squad is the Deadly Viper Squad.
No. It's not anything snake related.
I mean, I don't know. The game is weird and it's a Hideo Kojima whatever.
It's a Hideo Kojima joint. The name that you're looking for that Oderbob is probably screaming into the microphone right now is Foxhound.
Foxhound?
Foxhound.
It's not even like a badass villain. Like, it's just a thing. Foxhound. Okay.
I mean.
Why were they, did they ever explain the name?
That's just the name of the covert group. I'm sure there was an explanation and a cutscene at some point.
And singular, not Foxhounds.
No, it's Foxhound is the name of the elite unit.
Okay.
There you go. All right, so we end that trivia 1-1.
So we have to move on next week.
Yeah, next week we'll see how it goes. We'll keep a tally. I think I'm still up in totals because I think...
We're starting now, fresh.
No, we don't. We don't do that. Yeah, I think it was 7-5 last time.
I would have given you more points than that, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You were nice when you gave me the 5.
Yeah. So We'll keep a running tally. We'll see how this we'll do.
It'll
a little
be more like the streak. Do I ever beat T-Man?
All right, we're going for does he ever beat me? That's see how long I can at least tie him or do better than him. Because this was close. Some rough one. This one I didn't know a lot of them. So
I know the next like the ones I put aside. You would have one was a Bond question. You would have gotten it.
Oh, you can't specifically choose ones that I'm not going to get.
I intentionally took the first three, but I just saw the other one. I was like, right. I know that.
Okay. Well, until next time then, where can they find you, Harvey Z?
On Twitter at the Z is silent.
You can find me on Twitter at T-Man Plays Games. You can find my podcast or our podcast, sorry, at Make Me a Podcast on Twitter. You can find my writings at tmanwrites.com. You can email us if you have any questions, comments, catchy names for our new segments at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. And as started last week, there's a link to our Discord in the description of this episode if you are interested. Thanks so much for listening. Harvey Z, take us out.
I was about to do something on an intro and I realized it's useless now because we're at the end.
What? You had an intro that you saved
like, I was
this
like,
long?
Oh, we can discuss something, but it's like, we don't need to discuss anything. We're leaving now. There's no need for me to like tell you about like, oh, you gave me a recommendation a while ago, and I really liked it. The car thing. Hyperdrive?
Oh.
I binged watched it.
Yeah, like, it was really
like
good,
two,
right?
Days. It's really, really fucking good.
Yeah, like, I liked it a lot.
I was surprised. I'm not a car guy. I didn't think I would like, I like games.
Mm-hmm.
Entertaining all the way through, and it kept up.
My favorite driver was the Wild Child.
I thought it would be. I mean, it was very T-Man.
Yeah.
I like the Drift Sensei.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I figured then, like, that one you would like.
Wild Child was up there, though, just how ridiculous it was.
Yeah, he was amazing. I enjoyed everything he did. All right, so that's a real quick recommendation. If you're interested in cars or just like an entertaining reality show, Hyperdrive is basically Ninja Warrior, but with stunt drivers.
And like really awesome freaking fancy cars.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. It's season one is on Netflix right now. Okay, I guess that's it. We're ending with a recommendation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. No, nothing funny. Sorry.
Hyperdrive.
No,
we're promoting something else. I know.
Yeah.